listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
What is our almost first sunny day?
First sunny day, yeah. It's been like I wanted to cut my wrists just to see color.
I know.
It's been so depressing.
Right?
You know?
I wish it was my line. You know, the other side of that is it kind of prepares us for what really should be the weather during a holiday season.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. My mother came to visit. You know, my mother
was here.
My mother
was here. And I didn't get to see her this time.
You didn't get to see her? And she was like, I fly all the way across the friggin' country. I want to see some goddamn thing. She was miffed. She was miffed it rained every day she was here. Yeah.
Now, I don't remember her having quite that language in her...
My mother? Are you kidding?
Really? Is
my
that,
mother's my mother's like a sailor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I can't go into it because of our iTunes rating, but I will share some stories with you where she's... She's not exactly a fragile little flower, Charlotte. She's full. She's like, you know... She's Brenda Vaccaro without the lilt.
Oh, wow. Yes. There you go. Sorry about that, Brenda, if you're listening.
Anyway, before we get into our guests here, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts and Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
We are so pleased to have these gentlemen in studio with us today, the first being known for his two seasons on Logo TV's Big Gay Sketch Show, but now from now until December 16th, he is on a preemptive strike against holiday sentimentality as a disgruntled elf in the Blank Theater's production of The Santaland Diaries at the Stella Adler Theater in Hollywood. Please welcome the uber-talented Paolo Andino.
Thank you. Oh, thanks, everyone. Studio audience.
Yes, we spare no expense here, Paolo.
That's it.
Also with us, Paul is one of LA's most successful young directors who is not only the director of The Santaland Diaries, but last month was recognized with two Ovation Award nominations, resulting in the ultimate prize in Los Angeles Theater for his work in The Color Purple and Hollywood Celebration Theater. This year's 2012 Best Director of a Musical, the awesome Michael Matthews. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Doing very well. Thank you for having us.
Happy to be on.
He's turning red.
What?
He's turning red.
Yes. You know, I never noticed that in people. People will say, oh, you're blushing. I never noticed. Maybe it's because I'm so naturally ruddy.
Yeah, I'm ruddy.
You're right. Because you're always drunk.
I didn't want to say it on the air, but thanks for bringing up.
Somebody's got your number, Paul.
No, it's rosacea. That's what it is.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that's what they're calling it?
Oh. Rosacea, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rosacea is actually a brand of bourbon that I enjoy. So.
Great.
Paul, before we get too far into the hour, what have you been up to since I've seen you?
Just the show. We've got two more weeks for a Christmas twist.
Yeah.
It's going great. We're selling out. Reviews have been love letters. We couldn't be happier. And we have this Friday is completely sold out, but Saturday and Sunday are both hovering about 75%
right now.
It's going great. We love the... it's a great show. It was lovely to revisit it after all these years. I did the original production of A Christmas Twist 20 years ago. Christmas Twit. That's me.
It's hard to say.
Were you Oliver in that one?
I was Tiny Twist. I was Tiny Twist. I was the little boy who never died.
Oh,
so that's
nice.
The whole thing. It's a hybrid of the two, and he's 6'2", and they never invest in a new crutch because they're convinced he's going to drop any minute, so it's the tiny crutch. But it's very, very funny.
Is it only Thursday to Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yes.
So I miss it completely.
But do you have an evening show on Sundays?
No.
Not to put you on the spot.
No, I don't. I have an afternoon.
Oh, you have an afternoon. So do we. It's a 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it's going
maybe
great.
Maybe I'll have to get sick.
There you go.
So the
actually, there's a tie-in, too, because
right
the...
there's you won't remember this.
There's a tie-in, too, because Warren Davis, who has won great praise playing our
Fantastic
Bob Cratchit, is
actor.
An old Blank theater member, has done many shows at the Blank, very active in the Young Storytellers at the Blank. Is it Young Storytellers
Young
or Young
Festival.
Playwrights?
Young Playwrights.
Young Playwrights.
Yeah.
And he did the sound design for Sandland Diaries. He's a very gifted sound designer,
yes,
in addition to being a fine actor.
He's a really fabulous.
You like the way I wove all that together?
I do.
I am a tapestry of PRBS, aren't I?
Yes.
A veritable potpourri. Oh, PRBS.
Especially the last two letters of that.
So how was your week, Michael? How was your week?
My week was filled with going to the theater. I saw so many things. Silence, the musical.
Yes.
To go support our friend Davis Gaines.
And LaToya, who was on our
London.
Was on our show.
Yeah. And I want to tell you, it was so far beyond what I imagined it possibly could be.
Mm-hmm. And that's saying something, because you're jumping off the edge of the
Christine
pool.
Christine Lakin and Davis and LaToya, and actually every single member of the company, every member of the ensemble, were brilliant.
Yeah,
it was
brilliant. Absolutely.
Pee in your pants funny, and I must say honestly that this is the first show that I recall in a very long time that literally my face hurt at the end of the evening because of smiling,
right,
if I wasn't laughing out loud. And I'm one of those people that can enjoy something very much and not laugh out loud, but really enjoy it just the same. This just had me on the floor.
Yeah, just in stitches, yeah. I've heard that from many people.
Yeah, it's an odd theater of sorts, but and a little difficult to get to, and parking's not great around the area, so any
plus you're beaten
is,
how many more positive things. I was beaten in the parking lot and I was left for dead.
Panhandlers outside.
Don't let that detour you from seeing these final performances. Of course, that is if you haven't seen what one of our guest shows here, or yours for that matter, because you're all closing on the same weekend.
Why are they closing Silence? I feel like this could just run open-ended.
That's a big question. I think that I've actually talked to Davis about that and some of the other principals, and I said it really should move to West Hollywood. That's what I think. It should move to West Hollywood, to like the Coast Theater, and you've got that built-in audience of these. But you know, you have to see the movie.
Okay, say
but
it.
You know what though? The thing is though. Say it. The other thing too though, and this is as great as the show is.
Yeah.
It's always dodgy when you move something because Tom Waits put it best.
Right.
He said, when you move, you have to unplug the appliances,
yeah,
and you don't have the momentum. You know, you're, even if it is successful, even if it's got great press, people want to be where it happened. They want to be in that place.
That's a good
where,
point.
You know,
that's a good point.
So it's always a dodgy thing. I mean, I'm not saying that would happen to them, but especially given the response it has had nationally. I mean, it's playing. It originated in New York, didn't it?
Yeah.
It originated in New York. It was a huge hit in New York. But it's just brilliant here. So kudos to everybody connected to that. Davis, amazing, Christine. And speaking of couples like that, I had the pleasure of being reunited with former clients of mine, Donnie and Marie Osmond, on this past Tuesday evening, and they opened their big Christmas show here at the Pantages Theater, and it was like a huge rock and roll concert with the roof coming off of the top of the building.
Really?
I must say, really, and the audience skewed from your yuppie types to your mid-30, you know, patrons of the arts, to your older folks that, you know,
to Mormons.
Remember them. To you name
who doesn't love them, right?
You name it, but I must say, I interviewed them before the show. George Pinocchio and I were invited to come down and do that, and for me it was a great moment to kind of talk to them. We see each other every few years. I toured the world with them, and we played all over the world when she was very young. She just had Paper Roses.
Paper Roses,
on the,
on one
the
of the first 45s I ever bought. Yes.
And Donnie was at the height of his career, and the Osmonds were, of course, at their usual high-end height. And it was an amazing tour, and it was a great experience for all of us. And they have grown so much as performers. This is their 50-year anniversary.
Oh, my gosh.
In show business.
Wow.
And this show they did on Broadway. That they did at Pantages. They only do it in one city a year.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh. They just go
so
and
this
sit down.
Was the first time that Donnie and Marie were united on a stage in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
God. So that in itself was in so much anticipation of you know seeing their performance.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah.
And I must say, beyond, they're both looking amazing. She, in the middle of the show, does an operatic number.
Oh, yeah.
Nessun Dorma. She's been studying opera for 9 years, And in this show, she does everything. Pop, she does Broadway, she does opera, which the audience, she gets, well, the whole show got about 5 standing ovations during the performance.
Wow.
Yeah. Just amazing.
My friend Jim O'Hare, who is on Parks and Recreation, he plays Jerry on Parks and Recreation, he just got interviewed by Marie Osmond for her, she has a show on Hallmark.
Yes, she does.
And he said, just as you would expect, could not be nicer, could not be a sweeter woman, and love the experience there. He made a point of saying that.
Absolutely. Well, I urge people to run and see that, Paul, because it is at the Pantages until the 23rd of December, and it is a treat from the beginning of the evening to the end.
You know what I'd be interested in seeing? Yeah. Silence the Musical, starring Donnie and Marie.
Well, you never
Wouldn't
know.
That be something?
You never know.
I'd be all
they're
over
the, they're the rebels
that wouldn't be
of the family.
At all. Yeah, not at all.
Not at all. Did you say awkward?
Let's give it up for our first guest, Michael, shall we? Give him the intro he is due.
Our first guest has appeared on such television shows as Law and Order, Law and Order SVU, Army Wives, Ed, All My Children, and on stage he has been seen in Anna in the Tropics, The 39 Steps, The Food Chain, Waiting for, I'm going to say Godot.
Yeah.
Am I saying that correct?
Waiting for Godot?
Yeah. Some
well,
people say
I say it, other people say it differently.
The hoity-toities, yeah.
Yeah. And the films, Fatties, Pink and Green, and Choking Man, he is currently starring in David Sedaris' hilarious indictment of the holidays, The Santillon Diaries for Holiday, excuse me, for Hollywood's Blank Theater at the Stella Adler Theater in Hollywood. Please welcome Paolo Andino. Yeah, right up your alley.
How are you?
Hello.
You're back.
I'm back.
Yes, you're back and you're bigger than ever.
I did gain a little bit of weight, but I was hoping that you wouldn't notice on the radio.
Paul has to reveal these things. So everyone's
not what I meant.
Do I have anything in my teeth? You might as well
I didn't want to say
now.
Anything. But
other than the
little artichoke and we'd have a dip.
I don't know, yeah. That was the other show that I went to see.
What's
this
that?
This Amazing Man.
Santillon.
This Amazing Man's show.
Okay, I got to ask you, speaking of the amazing show that Michael just mentioned, were you familiar with Sedaris' work before Santillon? Like, were you a follower? Were you a disciple as I am?
I was, yes. Uh-huh. My first experience with him was Barrel Fever, which I loved. And when I got that book, I was doing the Utah Shakespearean Festival in Utah, and I would read it in the dressing room because, you know, when you're doing, you know, Shakespeare and rep in the summer, you'd have like shows where you have your big parts and then you have shows where you have little tiny parts. So there was this one dressing room where it was all like spear carriers. So nobody really had to concentrate. So during half hour, I would read, you know, like the story of like Mike Tyson, like him dating Mike Tyson and Charlton Heston, you know,
what?
And like, oh yeah, yeah, where he proposes to Mike Tyson and puts the ring in like some cupcake or something, and Mike Tyson eats it, and then they have to wait for it to come out the other end so that he can get the ring.
Well, that's a nice visual, isn't it?
Yeah. Hysterical. Yeah,
you know
so
that
I
Mike
love,
Tyson
love
is touring
stuff, yeah.
in a one-man show on his life, and it's coming to the Pantages?
Is he really?
He just booked it. Yeah. He's filling in for something, I think. That
does it pack a punch?
Well, we'll see.
Imagine.
We'll
trying
see.
To imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So the Barrel Fever, where did that fall in his canon? Because Santillon.
I think it was like his first big book. I mean, I
thought Santillon Diaries was.
The Holidays on Ice.
Okay.
There was a collection of short stories of which Santillon Diaries is one.
Is part of, okay.
Yeah, and then after that, I think his first big book was Barrel Fever, no? Am I right about
Barrel
that?
Barrel Fever, Squirrel and Chipmunk. And
that's later.
It is?
Squirrel and Chipmunk was like one of the latter ones, right?
Okay.
And then Me Talk Pretty was...
Yeah, Me Talk Pretty, Dress Your Family in Denim and Corduroy. Yeah.
Santillon was definitely before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you follow him at all?
I don't. I mean, I'm a fan, obviously, for just this work alone. I mean, it's so brilliant.
Yeah.
It really is. I have a question that I wanted to ask you with relationship to this show. Did you know each other prior to working together on this show?
No.
You knew of Paolo's work?
I did not.
You did not. Mm-hmm. And vice versa?
Nope, not at all. Because I had just moved to Los Angeles. So I was here, oh my God, months. I had only been here a few months. And Daniel Henning, the artistic director, had seen me in a show, sort of like a street show called Accomplice Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
sort of like a scavenger hunt, but you're just looking for clues and you're part of a story. And along the way, you meet different actors. And I played like this hotshot Hollywood producer in a bar. And you're basically like wrangling people, telling them a story and getting them drunk. And the artistic director of The Blank came to see it. And when they were looking for someone, they had lost the person, right? Am I right? They lost the person that was scheduled to do Santa Land for the third year. And Daniel was like, wait, I know somebody who could do this. And they searched me out, and that's how I came to it.
Because if I remember correctly, when you were here last time, were you talking about Santa Land as well? When you were
yes,
here?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And I remember you saying that it was like...
It's all I do.
No,
it's 11. It's my one show a year. I'm an accountant the other 11 months.
Yeah, you're doing it in July in Sheboygan, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
You go on the road with it?
It's a special Hawaiian Christmas in July thing I do in Maui.
The Judd's Smoky Mountain Christmas in Hawaii, yeah, starring Paolo Adito and the John Denver sock puppets, ladies
yeah,
and gentlemen. But you had, it was like 11th hour that you got that. You had to learn it pretty quick, right?
Oh, yeah. Super fast. Yeah. Super fast, yeah. Luckily, and I'm not saying that because he's sitting right next to me, Michael was amazing, an amazing director in the fact
oh,
that
God,
he
I
just...
he was talking about me.
Michael Matthews. Michael Matthews. He just, basically, he just gave me the playground. Here it is. Here's your sandbox. Here's the sand. Here are the walls. Here are the toys that you have. Now you can play. So where in a regular show, you're sort of, under regular circumstances, you know, you're figuring all that out. Like, oh, well, what about if I move over here? Or, hey, what if we, you know, create a big box here where Santa pops out? So there was none of that. Like, he already had the framework. And then once I realized that, okay, these are the parameters, you know, I had a great freedom to just sort of create, and it was like this really nice balance of like something that was already created and me being able to bring myself to it.
Right, right.
And changing it in ways that made it, you know, sort of this marriage.
And this was, and you directed last year's as well?
I've directed all 4 years.
You've directed every year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did the LA premiere of it.
Oh, okay. And how has it varied? I mean, I'm always curious about that. When you come back to the same material and you have the same actor, when you redo it, is it something that you just like, you know, it worked so well for us last year, let's just figure out how we can capture that magic again? Or do you try new things?
We tried a couple of new things. There were things from last year that, you know, like around February, March, thinking about it just a little bit, like, oh, yeah, we should definitely, you know, massage that a little bit. And, you know, this wasn't really working so well, but it could if we tried this. So those were definitely things, you know, we started Halloween, I think is when we started rehearsals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So right around there, that whole first week, we just kind of talked through some of the things that we thought we could do differently. And we did, and it actually worked out even better.
Yeah. In both counts, like what worked that we liked, mm-hmm, what didn't work we liked, and what we wanted to change to make better.
You know, I think as an observer, Paul, and I'm sorry that you didn't get to see the show. I don't know whether you can in
for
your
shame
schedule. I think you're going right up against
same
them.
Shows,
so,
yes,
maybe I should play Scrooge in your show, and you should come and be
there you
Crumpet
go
one day.
There
see
you
how it goes.
I think from my perspective sitting there, that there is, you're both so full of so much talent. And really to put...
I thought you were going to say yourself.
Isn't it the same thing, though, really? What do you think about it? Isn't it the same thing?
Full of it.
No. Talent is the word that I was searching for and wanted to use.
Well, talent's what's written on the card, Paolo.
And there's a big 10 next to it, by the way.
Exactly. But that translates to trust, I think, when you're working... especially in a situation where it's a one-man show and you have a director. Paul, you've been in that experience.
Sure.
Had that experience for years. And, you know, putting your hands and your life and your presence on the stage in somebody else's hands and vice versa, and giving him the freedom to be who he is, who is an actor of great spontaneity and great imagination, and you're a director that kind of matches the same as you are, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. I'm curious about that, the one person aspect of it too. Having done one person show as much as I did, I found it was a great deal of I have I get very anxious before I, the whole reason I wrote a one-person show was because I started to suffer from incapacitating stage fright and panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how do I stare this dragon down? Let me do the scariest thing you can do, which is, in my case, an autobiographical one-person show. It's like, you know, uh-huh. once you can conquer that, you know. So, but it is, what really would get to me between 7:30 and 8 o'clock was the feeling of I'm solely responsible for the evening that these people have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, I don't often get to talk to people who do one-person shows. Does that occupy your thoughts at all? Do you, what's going through your mind at half hour?
Well, Paul, let me tell you what happened.
I mean, aside from scotch.
sounds like your mom.
Aside from the scotch is going through.
I smoke.
And if you were a tree.
I smoke a Virginia Slim.
Eves.
Virginia Slim.
Capri.
Capri. Yes, Capri's.
Benson. Half a Capri. Because I'm cutting down.
Half a Capri of the menthol, and I poke holes in the filter to get more air like a Carlton.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Useless shit stuck in my head, I tell you. I can't remember that.
That's real good.
Dig out the filter so it's like a parliament.
I dig out the filter and I stuff.
I smoke my trick.
What I
cigarette.
Do is I take out the filter and I stuff a Werther's Original in there. And it just smooths it out for
that
me.
That takes me till about 7:15.
That's all the time.
Who's thinking about the audience?
I've been late for curtain four times because of those damn wrappers on the Werther's.
Like, I'm still smoking my cigarette. What do you mean it's a...
Sorry.
We need it at 8 o'clock.
Go back. If you'd like to respond to the question. And it's personal, though. I also don't want to pry too much.
Well,
I mean, it's...
you know, it is very personal, and you are prying, but I will answer it anyway. It's very different this year from last year, because last year was the first year that I was doing it, so I was completely petrified all the time. I don't think there was a single show that I wasn't thinking, oh my God, I'm going to forget everything today. Today's the day that it all blows up, you know.
Right.
So that occupied a lot of my mind. But then this year, it's different because I, you know, rememorized it in only a few days. And I kind of really had it much more under my belt. And I didn't have that fright of like, right. I'm going to forget something. So this year, I almost had this thing happen, and you know, and I'm always like backstage just before the show starts, and there's this a large part of the stage that isn't used, and I'm just like sort of roaming around, and I'm poking my face, you know, through little holes in the curtain to see just to see the audience so that I can get a little bit used to them, like who's out there, who are the people that I'm, you know, going to talk to and stuff like that. And then I do this thing where like I marry the audience, and it sounds weird, but I told Michael about this, like, I marry the audience, and I say, like, we are one, and I, like, do this sort of, like, stupid little one-minute ceremony in my head where I say, like, I marry you now, and we are one, we are together, so it's not, like, me against them.
Right.
It's not like, you know, like, they're judging me or whatever, it's like, we are one, we are one unit, we're one team, and I'm going to share this experience with you and give this to you, but we're doing it together. Especially a show like this where I talk to them so much.
Yeah, I think that is, I actually did exactly the same thing in a different way, but it was, my whole thing was that it was hosting a,
Michael Matthews is making faces at me.
But I mean, marriage,
you don't understand. You're not an actor.
Metaphorically, it's the same.
I like it.
Metaphorically, it's the same thing, which is my whole thing would be that I was hosting a party, uh-huh. and they were there together, and it was not a judgment. It was not a me against them. It's like, let's all take this ride together. I didn't actually make it a wedding. You know, I wasn't that attached to my audience.
I divorced them right at curtain call.
Good.
P.S.
Okay. So you're a harlot. You're a stage harlot.
We get a quickie divorce.
Yes. Little Mexican divorce.
Yeah, little Mexican
at the end
divorce. Right away, I say.
He's lethal. He's cute, but he's lethal.
No, but I just that's something.
You're such an actor.
That's something that people don't think about with one person shows, because you do a play and you have all the camaraderie of being backstage and you have all that. Oh, remember how this went last night?
Yeah.
And it's pretty heroically lonely with one person shows backstage.
Yeah, especially when you're on think,
the
you know
when you're on the road with it too. That was what really got.
Well, to
me,
go see this really quite brilliant show. That is starring Paolo Andino and directed by Michael Matthews. You have an opportunity, so take advantage of it. And it is playing at the Stella Adler Theater in Hollywood. It is a Blank Theater production. And the Stella Adler is located right there in the heart of Hollywood at Highland in Hollywood. And you can park in that big Highland Hollywood Boulevard complex and other locations. And for tickets, you simply call 323-661-9827, or you can go online to theblank.com and purchase tickets that way as well. But don't miss it, through December 16th.
Still don't know how they got that URL, how they got theblank.com. Man, that was a score.
Yeah.
You know what they could sell that for now?
What?
I actually do know. Let me pull it up on the web. I'll let you know. Theblank.com, yes, Hollywood and Highland.
It's a winner. You cannot miss by going to see this show, I assure you.
And we will talk more about the show shortly.
Yes, we will.
Because we have the director who are lucky enough to... I always like it when the two guests are involved in the same thing, because you can get a broadened discussion of topics. And they also pick on one another, as
yes.
they are here.
And we have a live arts calendar.
We do. Shall I kick it off?
Please.
Marking her first appearance in Orange County in 20 years, Liza Minnelli will be joining OC's Men Alive Chorus for a winter spectacular, a strictly limited two-night event, December 13th and 14th. Sorry, Paolo, you're going to miss it because you'll be on stage at the Segerstrom Center for the Arts. Did I say that right?
Segerstrom.
What was wrong with my way? Strom. Yeah, Segerstrom Center for the Arts in Costa Mesa. How was Costa Mesa? Was that okay? Yes. California. Miss Minnelli will grace the audience with a full signature set accompanied by her own band. It will also be collaborating with the chorus on some special select numbers. So don't miss this evening of Broadway hits, pop standards, and, of course, holiday music. For tickets, call 866-636-2548. That's 866-636-2548. Or visit www.scfta.org.
That is it.
Yes.
And if you don't see Miss Minnelli there, you just might, Paul, be able to see her on Monday.
Yes.
At Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
Yes, I it's not confirmed, but the word on the street is that she may attend.
She may.
Yes.
We have the fabulous Cortez Alexander in the headlining position on Monday, bringing in his Christmas show. Have a swell holiday.
So would it be awkward, Michael, for me to show up as Liza in drag? If she was there, do you think that would throw her?
I think we should probably ask her.
Okay.
I would love to see that. Because
I'm not the most
myself,
attractive man in the world, but I'm the ugliest woman on the planet, I got to tell you. I can't.
I think we better... Well, let's hold that one. For,
nothing a little shading can't fix.
mirrors, smoke and mirrors.
Like a diminishing, shade.
Just look at me straight on. Always straight on.
Straight on. No, not even three
never
quarters.
Profiled.
We
never
can't
profiled.
Risk even a three quarter with you, especially if the sun is high.
Oh my God.
Melt right off.
Really?
No.
Sorry. It must be Thursday.
No.
It is. I'm so drunk.
I know, right?
I'm so drunk. I've been drinking since noon. Shall we do the... you have something to say, Michael.
I was just going to say, and once again, ladies and gentlemen, that, of course, our live arts calendar is brought to you by PerformingArtsLive.com, the number one site to go to in all of Southern California. Excuse me, Paul, but right now it's time again for the State of the Arts Sweepstakes, sponsored by Breakdown Services.
Yes.
As you know, ladies and gentlemen, each week we raffle off a different prize to a fan of State of the Arts. Prizes are furnished by Breakdown Services and include free yearly subscriptions to Casting About, casting agent directories, free video uploads for actors, headshot retouching, even a free year of unlimited submission on Actors Access. And to enter, all you have to do is like us on our Facebook page by visiting facebook.com/stateoftheartsLA.
So what's that again, Michael?
It's facebook.com/stateoftheartsLA.
I will.
So Paul,
yes.
Spin that wheel.
I certainly will. I will. And oh, yes, there it is.
What is that?
There's
that.
What
the hell is that?
That's my...
Well, that's the wheel.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes.
What a awesome.
Very magical.
Small wheel.
Yeah, it's a very small wheel. It's small, but perfectly formed.
Yes. Lord. I see. I see. Okay, and today's winner is performer Kola Harris.
Yeah.
Yes. She's a Tampa, Florida resident. Kola, if you're listening, you'll receive a free year of unlimited submissions on Actors Access. Congratulations. And good luck with your career. We will also alert you to your win through our Facebook page and provide you with more important details as to how to claim your prize.
Kola.
Yeah. Kola
like Harris.
Coca-Cola. Yeah.
Thanks for helping. Thanks for chiming in.
We try.
Team players. Okay. As Michael said earlier, our next guest is not only the director of the Blank Theater's Santaland Diary, starring Paolo Hendino, who we've already spoken to, but we'll continue to speak to at the Stella Adler Theater here in Hollywood.
He doesn't shut up.
But he's this year's 2012 Ovation Award winner for Best Director of a Musical. That, of course, being The Color Purple at Hollywood Celebration Theater, which just got rave reviews. And, of course, we had one of the cast members on weeks ago. Additionally, for the celebration, he directed the critically acclaimed and Ovation-recommended world premiere production of Just in Love, starring Adam Huss and Alette Taylor on stage. Now, that's also playing through December.
Boy,
you've got a lot going on, man.
Yeah.
All these shows. His credits also include serving as assistant director on Dead End at the Center Theater Group's Amundsen Theater and The Cherry Orchard at the Mark Tape Forum. Please welcome the indefatigable Michael Matthews.
All right. Mr. Matthews.
I'm sorry, with your intro, we're out of time. So thanks for coming.
And good night.
So nice having you. How are you?
I'm doing good.
How do you do this? Oh, how do you do it all? You have everything's going all at once for you.
Yeah, a lot of them work out that way.
Yeah. You just go with the flow, huh?
Pretty much. You know, it's a lot of scheduling, but you know, it works out.
Yeah. Well, you're young. You can handle all of that, right?
Yes.
Do you prefer? Actually, it's a good question. Do you prefer to have half a dozen plates spinning, or do you like to be able to focus on something exclusively, or do you feel like sometimes you may shortchange work because of being spread so thin? I ask you 9 questions before you respond? What do you think?
Ten. The busier I am, the better off I am. Right now, like I start casting another show on Monday, so the past 2 weeks I've had a little off, though I've been running around. So I had so much free time that I don't really know what to do with that. So I'm starting to plan up my projects for next year. So starting January through June, I'm booked solid.
Wow.
But right now, it's like I have downtime. I don't really know what to do with myself. So I'm Christmas shopping and, you know, seeing friends and who are these people, which is great.
But you have the shows up there. The shows are living entities. So that's got to be the best because you have the option of going and living them.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And I love that. That makes me really, really, really happy. But depending on what the project is, I will either focus solely on one show, or if there are different projects that I've been working on for a while and in my head, or I can spread them out, or you know, work on them simultaneously.
Does the work come to you, or do you have an agent?
I have an agent.
So they're out there hawking you as a director the way that they should.
Hawking, such a lovely way to put it.
Well, I mean, you know, I didn't really mean to use
that.
pitching you.
They are. I've also been just really blessed. You know, have Celebration as an artistic home, and I do one or two shows there a year.
Yes.
And are you a company member there? Or?
No. I'm the resident director right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
Do they have a formal company of members there, or is it just sort of like a?
They do have. They do have company members. Okay. Yes. All right. Yes, but they're not. It's not actor driven.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Good.
Well, you certainly know how to work that space.
That's
you
a lot
really
of fun.
Do, because it is to bring The Color Purple in there was extraordinary.
Thank you.
And all kidding aside, Michael's not just saying this. You actually said that in your review of the show when you attended it way back when.
Yes.
I remember you making that exact same comment.
No, it's amazing. I mean, it is a specific talent to be able to work within a small environment like that, and with a big show like that. It's just can't be done by just anybody. So you have the gift, sir.
I appreciate that.
And certainly his work in Just in Love, which is wonderful and has had a great run so far. And I hope that I'm sorry to hear that it's closing on December 16th.
Yeah, it was supposed to close last month, but they pushed it to December 16th. And there was an idea of pushing it through February, but there's just so many cast changes, and it just comes along with so much more work, and it's just. I think it was just easier for everyone just to have it close now, and it's going to close on a high note. I mean, almost every single show has been completely sold out, which is great, and it's so great for the theater, and it's great for David Elser. And
David's a smart man, and a show like that can have a life in other cities
and other situations.
I'm sure David's already working on
that. That's exactly, I mean, but that's something people don't consider. The theater going public is like, oh, you're selling tickets, just keep going. And like with Christmas Twist, we could certainly play through the end of the year. It's not a matter of attendance for us. It's a matter of the logistics of the show.
Right.
We lose two people to the holiday. We have to put replacements in there. And there's so much, you know, of the stuff that behind the scenes that people don't consider.
That's the whole thing. It's a cast of 12, and we've had understudies going in and out, and they're wonderful. They're really, really fantastic. It's just too much to take in. You know, I went to the theater last night, just dropping off something, and on the door of going into the theater must have been 5 or 6 different sheets of paper with all the different changes that will be going on tonight and Friday.
Wow.
All the swaps, the swapping in and out.
Yeah.
And it's so much, especially for the costume designer. You know,
you
take all that into consideration.
And you have the distraction factor. You have people that are just, even if they're doing the same role, all of a sudden, you know.
That's right.
It can.
And I guess one has to, when they're producing a show like that, you have to be somewhat liberal in the schedules of the actors, because it is equity waivers. So that is a big consideration.
Absolutely.
Right? And if they're getting a job that's paying better elsewhere, and they have that opportunity, then they're going to go.
She's paying better than equity waiver. Where are you going to find that? Starbucks?
Perhaps.
I know.
Target.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's
only
Target.
The super Target.
As greeter.
Hello. Welcome to Target.
You'll never work again.
Ever.
Michael, you mentioned earlier that you're casting something on Monday. What's next on your dance card?
Yeah. I'm doing a play called Wolves. It's a rolling world premiere play. It started off in Atlanta, and then it was in New Orleans and Arizona. There are all productions running right now, and then Celebration is going to be the final city, I believe, in the rolling premiere. It's by a playwright named Steve Yockey, who's after my own heart. I love him, and I love his works. I did his play called Very Still and Hard to See this past spring during Color Purple at the production company. And it's just, he's an amazing, amazing playwright. So that starts casting on Monday, and then we open the second week of March.
Wow.
Can you, without going into it too much, because we're here to talk about something else, but can you tell anything about the premise? Or you prefer not to? Or?
Oh, I can't tell anything about it because it'll give it away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's amazing.
Okay.
That makes it more intriguing already.
Well, we'll have to have you back when it opens, and we'll chat about it as much as we can when it's ready to open.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. So it's not a musical, though?
No, it's a play.
It's a play. Yep.
It's good. Actually Wolves.
Wolves.
I've got to look it up now. I'll find out privately. My father had a wolf. That's why. My father had a pet wolf.
Oh.
Yes. I don't know if it's related at all, but, you know, just segues and synapses in my head. Yes.
So do you love the theater? Is that where you want to live? Do you want to live on that platform, on that stage? Do you want to go into film? Do you want to go into television?
I love being where I am right now. I'm a very blessed man to be where I am right now. And I love the theater. I've been wanting to direct since I was, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years old.
And why would that be? How did that happen?
I don't know. I'm an only child, so there's no one else to talk to. So.
And he's very controlling.
Any
Please stop it.
Any performance interest, or did you perform?
No, I had to. I had to do some performing. It's not my thing. I don't belong on a stage. I don't like it. But even when I was a kid, I would direct little puppet shows.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I guess that's how I kind of started off with directing. Yes, that's what you did in the early 80s.
It's funny, I finally sort of, because I directed Christmas Twist, and I finally sort of realized that it's just living design, really, when you think about it. It's living design. It's you're designing, or even if you're advising, as it's like what you were saying, Apollo was saying, how much freedom you gave him when he brought in. You know, design can also be passive and or a little laid back and more at a distance. What do you find? Where do you find yourself most comfortable when you're really in the trenches?
I'm definitely not laid back, and I'm definitely not passive. I come alive when I'm in the middle of the process. Yeah. I love my process. Uh-huh. And you know, the second that table is out of the way, and I'm on my feet, that's when I thrive. That's when I feel completely alive.
When you're up there with
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very much how I feel, too.
I identify with that, too. I direct as well, not certainly anywhere as frequently, much as frequently as you, and on perhaps a different level. But, yeah, I understand that. It's exciting.
It's exciting
to watch good directors work. That's what I found in watching your show, and because you are a superb
And to
actor.
Be a part of it, I got to say, it's so nice to know that you can rest on this person's ability, right. You know, and that they have a vision and they know what they're doing enough that you can just trust what's happening and where they're going
exactly.
with it.
You know, and
which
I probably
doesn't happen all the time.
And I probably misstated it. I want to clarify this. By saying laid back or passive, I was thinking more in I should have said collaborative.
Yeah.
rather than laid back. But I'm curious about that, Paolo. Your experience with Michael directing it. Can you with him sitting so close to you? Can you talk about
it? I'll get you a box of Kleenex. Hold on.
It was just that. It was, you know, you just, especially, you know, right at the beginning last year when we started, I love the process of creating a piece as an actor when you come in and then everyone sort of has their ideas. And it's like, well, these are the ideas that I'm bringing in. And you're sort of feeling them out, blocking wise, all this stuff. There's this exploration period that didn't exist in Santaland because it was already blocked and it already had a structure. So I already came in like, raga, raga, raga. I don't like that. That's not the way I like to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. You felt that you were hobbled into...
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I felt like I was, you know, trying to be like wedged into this
like
thing.
You were putting the suit on.
Wait a minute. That's not how I work. No. I took out my Werther's. I stuffed it into my half a Capri and I was like, listen, kid, this isn't going to happen this way. But very quickly, I realized that this was... Not only did we not have a lot of time, but it was a very safe space. And I still had a lot of freedom with the parameters that he had set up because he was just giving me a framework.
Right.
You know, so it probably would have been, you know, very much the same had we done it from the very beginning. You know, maybe we would have discovered a few more things together. But, you know, he was very, very good about always letting me feel that what I had to bring was important and things could change. You know, it worked.
That's why I find it interesting that you never perform, Michael, or don't like to perform, because it's very much an actor's director mindset. It's to give the actor the freedom to do that. A lot of directors, and I've worked with many of them, not many of them, but a number of them, where when you're coming in 11th hour, it's just like, look, we don't have time for you to do your own exploration. You stand here on this, you stand here on that, and it's very unfortunate because the result is never very good.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But are you always so trustworthy with your actors once you cast them? Do you always give them that sort of free rein in the process, or is it just because you, Paolo's abilities that gave you that comfort?
Oh. That definitely Paolo's abilities give me that comfort. Right. Santaland's a whole different thing. It's a whole different process compared to everything else. It's apples and oranges. With the other ones, in starting up a process, it does take me a little bit of time just to especially with the trust, because you know, the first 2 weeks of rehearsal, I mean, I'm basically, I feel like I'm playing psychologist. Right. Like, how do I talk to this person, talk to this person? Who is this person? How do I get what I want out of what they're bringing to the table? And you got to figure out who they are.
Yeah, right. Without them feeling judged or...
That's exactly right. Yeah. And making them feel like it's their idea.
Right.
What? So, but, you know, that's a talent in itself, and not a lot of directors are like that. They don't even know that that's part of the process.
Yeah.
To, like, how you talk to different actors. You know, they talk
right.
to everybody the same way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think to get the result that you want, and I think that, especially, I guess, in what I do, it has to be a collaboration, but at the same time, it's still a dictatorship. I mean, it is. Well, it's not a democracy. Yeah. But
at the end of the day, someone needs to steer the ship.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's I make that very clear. But at the same time, I'm not going to get what I want unless I have a true collaboration
right.
with the people that I have in my room.
Right. And you also have, with that... collaboration. I'm sure, Michael, you'll attest to this for with your directing experience. You just get better work from actors when you collaborate.
Absolutely.
Because they're able to bring themselves, and they
right.
don't feel like, you know, they're puppets and you're holding the strings.
That's exactly
you know?
Right.
Have you? May I ask you? Have you ever had to fire an actor?
Yes, several times.
Painful.
The same actor?
The same actor.
Why do you keep hiring him?
They won't go away.
I'd rather not talk about it. Because it was me. I never liked him. I just got this radio show to do.
There's an opening at Target.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to see my work at Walmart. Yeah.
We'll work
in
on
drag.
Your greeting.
What?
In drag.
In drag.
That's Liza.
Oh, Liza Minnelli in drag is a greeter. Well, I'm writing that shit down.
Remember, only straight on.
Yeah,
only straight on.
Only straight on.
No profiles.
Yes. Please, no profiles. Or we could sell advertising space.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
Continue, Mark.
Yes. It was... There were times where it was painful, and then there were times I knew that I was making the right decision for what we had to do. And sometimes people don't reveal things about themselves to you till it's a little too late.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
yeah not a pleasant experience.
It's not a pleasant experience.
I don't think anyone who's had to, who hasn't had to fire anyone really realizes that it's how painful it is for the person who has to do the firing for anything, not
right.
just theater, but any job, you know?
Well, yeah. One more time, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to remind you to go see this wonderful show, Sandland Diaries, that is presented by The Blank Theater at the Stella Adler Theater in Hollywood, which is at 6773 Hollywood Boulevard on the corner of Hollywood and Highland. Paolo Andino is starring in this vehicle that is, it's almost like it was written for you, man. I mean,
oh,
you,
thank you
just take
thank
it
you.
To heights that are unbelievable.
It's so true. It
it's
really
so
is.
Fresh.
Thank you.
It is so
44
fresh.
Different characters.
You would love this.
I know. I'm sure I would.
And him.
Sure would.
Yeah.
And him in it. But you simply call for tickets. 323-661-9827 or go online at theblank.com.
Theblank.com.
Running through December 16th. And if you're not there, then you're seeing a Christmas twist with Paul Strolley.
Yes,
directing
at the Victory Theater,
Victory Theater.
3226 Burbank at Burbank and Hollywood Way in the magic that is Burbank. Just pinch me.
You go to SeaGlassTheater.org to get tickets.
SeaGlassTheater.org. Yes, it's that time, Michael.
It is baptism time.
It is
so
baptism.
It's a baptism for you, and he's been through it once, but he's got to go through it again. And that is calling upon reaching into the anals of your mind and pulling.
Anals.
Yeah. Canals? Anals? What is it? What is it? The anals.
I like the second one personally.
You say anals, and I say anals.
Right.
Anals.
Anals.
Let's call the whole thing up.
A most embarrassing, awkward experience, be it in theater
sure.
or in some other medium.
Sure. there's so many. Probably the most recent one, we were in the middle of previews for Justin Love,
mm-hmm.
at Celebration, which is still running right now until December 16th. But that, what is it? I think it was like maybe the third preview. Full houses, and some of those previews, like I know a lot of people that are there. They're part of the community, part of the theater. They're in, a lot of them want to come in, you know, be there for David Elzer, and you know.
Right.
But the way that Celebration's set up, it's 3/4 thrust, and I'm sitting on the side so I can look at the rest of the audience. and kind of see like what's working, what's not by, you know, looking at them. So in the play, there's a character whose name is Mitchell Matthews, and he has he meets this girl, and they're falling in love, and they had gone to high school together, and she's supposed to say he's supposed to ask her to dance, and she says, "Oh my God, Mitchell Matthews just asked me to the prom." Well, she didn't say it that day. She said, "Oh my God, Michael Matthews just asked me to the prom." And the whole audience, literally all at once, turned and looked right at me as if I'd put myself in the play. And I'm like, "No, I didn't write it." I'm literally shaking my head and sweating. Oh. And if you know me, I don't like being called out. I like to hide.
Right, being
on my side.
Why
just
you're not
everything.
A performer?
I like having my own little, you know, let everyone else have their thing. Every single person looked over, like I had done this on purpose.
Yes.
Terrifying.
Oh yeah.
And so embarrassed.
And you want to just leap into, "No, she screwed up the line. It wasn't, you know," just jump into an explanation.
It's funny how that sweat just kind of finds itself.
Oh,
to
just.
Your...
pouring off of me.
Paolo, you got 1 minute.
Yes, sir.
You got one?
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Probably my favorite one was when I was doing Anna in the Tropics, which is a story about roughly these two people, my character and my wife, who are sort of rediscovering their sexuality through an affair she's having with the Lector. And it's set in 1929, a Cuban cigar factory. There's this one scene that ends with her sort of showing me. I ask her, "Tell me what he does to you." And so she's showing me. She's like on top of me, right, on a table. And then sort of the platform turns and we go away. So this one day, she's on top of me, on top of the table, and she gets strangely close to me, you know. And then she's right in my ear. She whispers, "I'm going to fuck you." And we both had a quick change, and I came out afterwards and I was like, "Whoa, she was like really into it today. Like she's never done that before." And I'm like, "Hey, what happened there? Like, what you just said?" And she's like, "What are you talking about?" As she's changing really fast, I'm like, "You know, what you just said." And she's like, "What?" And I go, "You just whispered to me, I'm going to fuck you." And she's like, "No, I said my fucking shoe. It got caught in my dress." And I was like, "Oh, man."
My fucking shoe.
Yeah.
That's actually the name of the sequel.
My fucking shoe.
Next on the WB. Yes. A pleasure, gentlemen.
Yes,
Michael,
always
a pleasure with you, but a special pleasure to having you guys here, and it was great to have
thanks
you.
Thanks, guys.
Here.
It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And again, folks, run down to the Stella Adler and see Sandaland Diaries.
And Michael, remind us, too, what's happening at the Federal on Monday.
It is Cortez Alexander
from
Broadway and from his many years with Liza Minnelli is bringing his great show in, Have a Swell Holiday, and with Julie Garnier and Melissa Bailey as his special guests, and word has it that the one and only Miss Liza will be in the audience, as will Barbara Streisand's sister.
Rosalind
Kind.
Yes.
Who's a good pal of ours.
Wonderful.
If you're not doing anything Monday, you should come and visit us.
I will not try. I'm going to try to make it Monday. I think that
are
will
you?
Be in a hoot. Yeah, I definitely will.
He brings in a fantastic show.
Great.
So thank you. Happy holidays to you guys.
Thank you both.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you
happy
so
holidays.
And you're welcome back anytime here.
That sounds great.
See
thank you so much.
Next week on the radio.
Yes, sir, Paul. Thank you.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.